You are listening to the sermon podcast of Redemption Chapel in Stowe, Ohio. For more resources and information, go to redemptionchapel.com.
So in today's day and age, you can believe anything, I mean anything you want, with the exception of one thing. There's one thing you cannot believe. And I'll get to that exception in a bit. But first, I just want to underscore like the anything. Like, okay, there are some wild, crazy religious beliefs out there. I looked at a list of them this week, and for brevity's sake, I'll just share two of them with you right now. One is Jediism. Yep, that's pretty much what you think it is. Okay, so here's the thing. In the United Kingdom, in 2001, they did a census. And 390,000 citizens put down Jedi Knight as their religion. That means, at that point, that made it, in England and Wales, it became the fourth largest religion. Isn't that crazy? You can believe anything. Okay, but how about this one? I like this one. Pastafarianism. Now, this is in Poland, New Zealand, and the Netherlands. Where some people believe in a flying spaghetti monster. Can't make this stuff up. Wish I were making it up, not making it up, okay? It sounds like a joke. Actually, it started as a joke religion, but now there are some people who actually adhere to their belief system, which I have no idea what that is. Like, I don't know, does that mean you eat a lot of spaghetti or like none? Like, is it like Hindus revere cows so you don't eat beef? Or is it like, no, we worship our God at Olive Garden? I don't know. Like, how does cutting carbs work in it? I don't know. Listen, there's weird, wild stuff that people believe in. It's like they're just making it up. And today you can believe anything you want except one thing. You cannot believe that your religion is exclusively true. That you are right and all other religions are wrong. If you believe that, then our culture will blow the whistle and throw the flag. Okay? And you'll see that even in non-religious ways. Like if you're heterosexual, that's fine. You just can't believe that homosexuality is wrong. If you're cisgender, that's fine. You just can't believe that trans is wrong. Or to return to religion, listen, if you want to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that the Bible is the word of God, that Jesus is God who came in the flesh, that's fine. That's your truth. And if it works for you, that is great. But what you can't do is you can't believe that Jesus is the only way to God. You can't believe that Jesus is exclusively true and that all other religions are wrong. And yet we do. We believe that. Okay, so the question we're tackling today is why do Christians believe that Christianity is the only way to God? It's a very understandable question, especially in today's day and age. And so to get at that, I'm going to give you some answers from our series already. This why series kind of builds on itself. Right? So first answer is the resurrection. You remember the first week of this series, we looked at the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, that is a big one. Listen, if he rose from the dead, we have to listen to Jesus. He's the way. And if he didn't rise, then he's not even a way. He's nothing. One of the unique things about Christianity is that it is an historic faith. What I mean by that is all other religions are based on a belief system, morality, perspective, philosophy of life. Okay? But in Christianity, it's based on an event in history, the resurrection. It either happened or it didn't. Christianity can't be just one of the ways. Okay, that was the first week. The second week of the series, we looked at the Bible. Pastor Jared did a great job showing us that the Bible is, yes, the Word of God. Uniquely, reliably. Okay, well, given that, then here's something the Bible says. This is Peter when he's on trial. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Speaking of Jesus, he said, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Jesus is exclusively true, the Bible says. Now, then the third week of the series was just last week. We looked at the fact that Jesus is God. Okay, so Jesus is God in the flesh, and therefore Christianity is king. And if not, not. Like, no, it doesn't work. Either Jesus is it or he's nothing. And all I've done so far to answer today's question is just harvest what we've sown already in this series. But if you'll look at the screen, you'll notice I've left myself a lot of open space to fill. I'm going to give you guys a hint, okay? When the column goes down the middle, there's not a lot of points. When I start out on the left side, this ain't going to be no three-point sermon, okay? I got a lot to show you today, and I'm going to fill that thing up, okay? So we got a lot to cover. Here's the next one. Fulfilled prophecy. Hey, this is a new one I'm adding to the list now. Now, actually, Pastor Jared touched on this some, but this one I'm specifically thinking about prophecies about Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, there's hundreds of prophecies that he fulfilled. And here are just eight of them. Now, if you want, take out your phone, snap a picture, look at it later. I'm not going to go through that entire grid. Hex no. But what you will notice if you look over them is that they're all related to, mostly to his birth. Okay? Here's a question for you. When you were born, how many of the details of your birth did you control? Zero, right? None. Okay, so these are eight things. Jesus could not have controlled these at all, and yet they were fulfilled in Christ. Now, that's important to understand because, listen, there are other religions like Islam claim that their book is the Quran. They believe that there's fulfilled prophecy in there. But this is a very, I'll put prophecies in quotes there because it's very different. Like some of the stuff is shady. Some of it's underwhelming. Some of it is self-fulfilling. I'll give you an example. In the Quran, in Surah 48:27, Muhammad predicts that he will return to Mecca. And then he does. Okay, that's going to be a little bit like me predicting that later this week I will eat bacon. And then I do. And you're like, oh, you're a prophet? No. I just told you what I was going to do and then I did it. You understand how that's different? That's what we're talking about, okay? Jesus couldn't control these things. And yeah, boom, there it is. Okay, but what if he just did it by luck? Like, what are the chances that somebody could just happen to fulfill those eight ones? Mathematician named Peter Stoner. Here's what he said. We find that the chance that any man might have lived down to the present time and fulfilled all eight prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 17th of being absolute. Now, he's a mathematician, but he's also kind because he knows we're dumb because math is hard. So he dumbs it down. He says, in mathematical terms, 10 to the 17th is 100 quadrillion. But like that just does, it's not going to happen unless God intervenes. And that's just eight prophecies, let alone the hundreds about Christ. You get it? Like this makes Christianity unique. Another thing that makes Christianity unique is the crucifixion. Now, of course, we love the crucifixion. We talk about it because, I mean, it's a horrible thing, but it's also how Jesus paid for our sin and we get to connect with God. That's awesome. But did you know the crucifixion actually makes it so that Christianity cannot possibly be one of the ways? This is kind of interesting. This guy named Paul Rezcala, and he said, this is a great quote. He said, if all other world religions are true paths to God, then why did God kill his son, Jesus, in order to make a way for men to come to him? The very notion is absurd and insulting to God. It paints a portrait of a God who is just plain cruel. He sent Jesus into the world to live a miserable life of scorn, rejection, poverty, betrayal, humiliation, sorrow, and ultimately torture and death, in order to create a path whereby men can come to know him. Yet, Yet all the while he knew that following the five pillars of Islam or the noble eightfold path could accomplish the same thing. What a waste. Jesus' life, God's plan of salvation, is completely in vain. For the same result could be achieved by simply adhering to the tenets of any world religion. God is not only cruel, but also incompetent for putting into effect the worst plan of salvation possible. You ever think about that? Listen, this doesn't prove that Christianity is the way, but it at least makes it really, really clear that Christianity can't be one of the ways. That would make God cruel and incompetent. So what we can't do is we can't list Christianity alongside Jediism and Pastafarianism. That's silly. That's silly. Of course, why the crucifixion? Well, the next bullet for us is grace. Every other world religion is based on our works. Christianity is uniquely different in that it is not based on what we do, but it is not based on our works, but on the faith. And do you know why people tend to? Because there's a degree to which all world religions have a big similarity. Now, there are significant differences that make them mutually exclusive. To say they're all the same is really, it's ignorant of some of the facts. They can't jive. But there is a common core in that all world religions are going to teach you to be good. And if you're good enough, you get to go to the good place. And that's the basic idea. Be good. Try harder. But Christianity is different in that we say, you're bad. Sorry. And you can't fix it. And you can't be good enough. And you can't cover the debt. And praise God that He can cover the debt, that He did cover the debt, that He came to us, He died in our place. Christianity is different. It's not based on what we do, but what Christ did. And it's a difference of direction. That all other religions are trying to go up, Christianity is coming down. See, all other world religions are an attempt to work our way up to God, but in Christianity you have God coming down to us. And that's fundamentally different. So when some think that, oh well, all religions are an attempt to get to God, yes, you're correct. It's just that they don't work. How many of you right now could jump your way up to heaven? Some of you are going to jump higher than I, like I'm 53. My hops are gone long ago, right? But some of you will jump higher. But listen, none of us are going to make it. We can't jump to God. But can God come to us? And He did in Jesus. And it's grace. It's not earning, it's grace. And that makes Christianity fundamentally different. I'll give you one more bullet. Jesus made a very clear claim. I'll show you that in just a bit. I'm going to set it up with a story from the Bible. We're going to be in John chapter 14 at the beginning. There's a funny part to this one, actually. So let's look at it. We're in John 14, verse 1. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you also may be. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And this is the kind of the funny part. So Thomas is like, "Lord, we're a lot dumber than you think. So thanks for thinking so, but listen, we're dense. We have no idea, like, where you are going, what you're talking about, how to get there. Can you draw us a map?" And Jesus is going to refuse. He won't draw us a map. If we draw a map is religion. A map is you follow the path. You get yourself there. You work to get there. And Jesus is like, "No, that's not the way we're going to do it." Jesus doesn't give a map. He gives himself. And you will get on his back and he will carry you there. He doesn't give a map, he gives himself. And so all of that right there is the setup to the next verse is one that a lot of you are very familiar with. You just didn't know this was the context. John 14, verse 6. He's responding to Thomas here, and he says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is being really, really clear. And as soon as he said that, there are only two options. Either A, he is the only way to God. Or B, he is a crazy fool. I'm going to go with A because of the resurrection thing, right? But listen, B, there is no C. There is no option where he's just one of the ways. Not if you say that and you're not the only way. You're a liar. There's no way. Well, speaking about being the way. So he says three things about himself. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to bump through those really quick. He says he's the way, which means he is the only way to God. That made me think of some of you use Google Maps or Apple Maps. I know the room's probably divided, right? I'm an Apple guy, so I use Apple. They stunk at first, and Google Maps is better. Now I use Apple Maps. Either way, either app is very similar, right? What do? You take that thing out. You got to get somewhere. You have a destination. And so you put the destination in your phone, and then it gives you a route, right? You choose a route. Or it not only gives you a route, but what's it give you? It gives you an estimated time of arrival and game on. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? That's the time to beat right there, right? Shannon hates this game. She hates it. I love this. I don't care if it's halfway down the block. I'm beating that time, right? Like, we're going to do this, right? So game on. Anyway, another thing about the apps, though, is that they're similar in this, that they have toggle options that you can choose, right? Avoid highways, avoid tolls, something like that. And I think a lot of people want to approach religion in that way. They're going to put in the destination. The destination is heaven. But now they're going to look for some toggle options. Is the route gay affirming? And if not, I don't want that religion. Can I divorce for any reason and be okay? And if not, I don't want that religion. Or can I live with or sleep with my partner before marriage? And if not, I don't want that route. Or is it politically conservative? Or is it politically liberal? And if not, I don't want that route. And you know what Jesus is saying here? We ain't playing that game. He's saying, no, we're not going to do it like that. He says, I am the way, period. That's it. The phrase, it's my way or the highway. I think Jesus said it first. Right? Like, it's his way. It's kind of like this. What if you're trying to get to an island and the only route there is a toll bridge? It's a toll bridge and you click avoid tolls. You ain't going. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is the only way. He came down. Everything else is trying to get up there and you can't. Only in him is grace, sufficiency, completion. Grace not works. He's the only way. Not only is he the only way to God, he said he's also the truth. Now, folks, that is an audacious claim. Because no, he didn't say he's speaking truth. He said he is the truth. He's saying he is the source of all truth and all reality. He's not saying he just speaks truth, though he does. He's saying he's truth in the flesh, truth embodied. It's all in him. That's a huge claim. But in saying that, what he's saying is, it's not your truth, my truth, his truth, her truth. He is the truth, and that's it. That means Jesus is not extra. He's not optional. And if you move away from Jesus, you move away from truth. He's the way. He's the truth. And he says he is the life. In him is life. And I got to be honest at this point. My fear is that some of you want heaven, but you don't want Jesus messing with your stuff. And it's really kind of silly. Because God is the source of life. He's the creator of life. He's the infinitely wise one. He knows how life works best. And he loves you and he died for you. He came for you. And then our response is, well, I want heaven, but I don't want him. I don't want God messing with my life. That doesn't track. John chapter 1 verse 4, it says about Jesus, it says, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. In him is life. He is the life. He's not extra. He's not optional. If you move away from Jesus, you move away from life itself. Life himself. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And let's admit something. That is really, really exclusive. And Jesus said it, and it's unavoidably, but that is the cardinal sin in our society today. You just can't say things like that. And Jesus claimed it. So what I want to do for the next little bit of our time is I want to talk about this term right here, exclusive truth. It's, I think there's some things I want you to understand. It's really important in our modern society today. That yes, we as Christians make exclusive truth claims. But honestly, I don't think that's what makes us unique. Because I think everybody does. See, at the end of the day, everybody's exclusivist. Okay? I was going to ask for a show of hands on this. We won't do that. But I'm wondering if there are any flat earthers in here. And if so, I want you to know I love you. I just don't respect you. Right? Like, so I don't get it. Whatever. You're okay with me. But so I would be in the other camp. I don't know. Is it round earthers? Sphericists? I don't know. Right? But you understand, flat earthers, sphericists, like, they can't both be true. And each camp thinks they are exclusively correct and the other camp is wrong. That's a normal way to think and live. Or how about white supremacists and civil rights advocates? They can't both be correct. Praise God. They can't both be correct. And they think each other is wrong and that they are exclusively correct. Yeah. Or what about Islam and Judaism? They both think they are exclusively correct and the other side's wrong. In fact, in this one, it's a little bit awkward because Islam wants to wipe out all the Jews. So it's really hard. Right? Listen. There are some people that claim a religion that say all paths, but that's not, listen, the faithful adherence, the correct adherence of every world religion believes that they are exclusively correct. They are exclusively true. Let's have the courage to admit this. If Buddhism is true, Christianity is false. And if Christianity is true, Buddhism is false. They can't both be true. In fact, to get at that, one of the ways we can understand that is just asking a question. Does God exist? We just start there. Because listen, if God doesn't exist, then what we're saying is God is just fairy tales. It's bull crap. It's more made up imagination stuff. Okay, and in that case, yeah, all paths lead to the same place. Nowhere. Right? It's all equally true because it's all equally false. There's no God. However, if God exists, then he is real. And if he's real, then that means there are things that are true about him and things that are false about him. If you believe in the God of the Bible and somebody else believes that Satan is the one true God, you can't both be correct. One of you's right, one's wrong. Why? Because God exists. And because he exists, he's real. And because he's real, there are things that are true about him and some things that are false about him. And if you're having a hard time tracking with me on that, let me make it personal. What about you? You exist. Because you exist, you're real. Because you're real, there are things that are true about you and things that are false about you. So what if I start to go around to all your friends and family and neighbors and coworkers, and I tell them all that you're a pedophile. Now hold on. Your truth, my truth, his truth. I can't be wrong. Everybody's right. That's my truth. So you have to back me up and say, yeah, that's truth. You ready to do that? It's going to be a fun week, people. No, you wouldn't do it. Why? Because you exist. And because you exist, you're real. And because you're real, there are things that are true about you and things that are false. And you don't want people thinking false stuff about you. And you call it out as wrong. Why are you better than God? God exists. God's real. There's stuff that's true and stuff that's false. And so we have to be mature enough to admit that. You see, for all paths to lead to God, there must be no God. That's the only way that works. All right, so what I'm pushing around right now is something called pluralism. Pluralism is that idea that all paths lead to God, or all world religions are fine. Sometimes there's a variant called universalism. I'll just keep it simple and talk about pluralism. The funny thing is that pluralists are exclusivists too. They just don't admit it. See, they believe that all paths lead to God, that if you say that my religion is exclusively true and all others are wrong, they think you are wrong. They hold to an exclusive truth about their pluralistic worldview. Okay? They think pluralism is exclusively true. At least we as Christians are mature enough to admit it, that we believe exclusive truth. In fact, one of the things that will be thrown at you is they think those who believe their religion is exclusively true, they think we're arrogant. And they'll get there by using the elephant illustration. Have you heard this thing? That God is like an elephant. And that three blind guys come up to the elephant. And the first blind guy feels its trunk and says, wow, you know, an elephant is like a hose. And the second blind guy grabs a leg and he says, well, you know, an elephant is like a tree. And the third blind guy grabs a tail and he says, an elephant is like a rope. And of course, the point of the illustration is they're all correct, right? They're all grabbing the elephant. All paths lead to God. But do you understand the arrogance inherent in the illustration? There is actually a fourth unnamed person on the scene. Who observed this going down? The pluralist has written himself, though not admitted it, into the story. And what he's saying is everyone else is blind. I'm the only one that actually is sighted. I can see, and my view is actually the correct one. Who's arrogant now? That's the arrogance. You see, we're all exclusivists. Everybody, we have beliefs and opinions. And we believe our opinions are correct. And we believe that people who believe the opposite of us, we think they're wrong. And that's okay. Let's be adult. Let's admit that. However, at the same time, let's be nice. Being exclusivist is just common sense and admitted in reality. Now we got to live it out and be nice and kind and gentle and gracious as we dialogue with people. Not make enemies, but make friends. We can do that too. Now, that said, it reminded me of a story I heard when I was a little kid of a farm boy in Ireland who came across a leprechaun who was sleeping under a tree. Now, evidently, if you catch a leprechaun, then the leprechaun is under your power until you let him go. And he did. He was able to sneak up and grab the leprechaun and then force the leprechaun to show him where he hid his pot of gold. And so the leprechaun took him to this forest and showed him this one tree, and under that tree, at the base of it, was buried his pot of gold. Now, before the boy released him, he realized, well, okay, I don't have a shovel. I don't have a cart. Gold's heavy. He needed a cart from the farm to get it back. And so what he did is he reached in his pocket, and he pulled out a red ribbon, and he tied it around the tree. Because, look, once he leaves, how's he going to find that spot again, that one tree in the forest? Of course, the leprechaun could jack with things. So while he still had him in his power, he said, listen, you need to promise that you will not touch the dirt. You won't dig it up. You won't touch the gold. You'll leave it right there. You won't mess with the tree. You won't mess with my ribbon. You'll leave it all alone. And I guess according to the story that the leprechaun is a kind of fairy, and because of that, they can't tell a lie. And so he promises. And so the boy's set and lets him go. Goes home. Next day, comes back with his shovel and with his cart. And as he goes to the forest, what he finds is that overnight, the leprechaun got a spool of red ribbon. And he tied a red ribbon around every tree in the forest. And the boy could not find the pot of gold. And that's exactly Satan's game. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's nothing Satan can do about it. Jesus is the treasure. And he can't change that at all. So what he's going to do is he's going to tie a red ribbon around every other world religion so that you just think he's one of the ways and you miss Jesus. That's Satan's play. With that, I told you we'd camp on exclusive truth for a little bit. I hope that was helpful. But now I got to ask this. So what? Like, what do we even do with this? Like, as we wrap up, what I want to do is I want to shift from head to heart. Okay, because this has been pretty intellectual, to be honest. But head to heart is 18 inches, but wow, is that a long distance. And what does this have to do with our hearts? So you remember, we primarily looked at John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay. But remember, I started in verse 1. Do you remember what it said at the beginning of verse 1? Let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus is not just after your mind, he's after your heart. And that weighs into this. Listen, there are only a few options. There is no God. That's option number one, atheism. And in that case, evil goes unpunished. Think of the most evil thing you've heard about. Goes unpunished. There is no right and wrong. There's no meaning. There's no purpose. I got to tell you, your life doesn't matter at all. You're just made of atoms bouncing around. You're just matter. So you don't matter. And that troubles my heart. Or maybe there is a God, and all paths lead to God. So it's just religion. It's just try harder. Work your way to God. And we know we're not good enough. And we know we can't cover the debt. And we know we can't get there. And we never know if we're okay with God. We have no assurance. We only have religion. We have no relationship. And I'll tell you what, that troubles my heart. Unless option number three, there is a God. And I'll tell you what, he came to us, died for us, rose from the grave, offers us restored, redeemed relationship, not religion, relationship with God. He offers it to us by grace. Let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus is it. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him, and he came for you. Let not your hearts be troubled. But here's the thing. If he's the way, the truth, and the life, that means he is not just one out of many. That means we cannot just dabble in Jesus as some little religion thing. We can't do that. No, he is it. That means he is unique. He's precious. He's valuable. He's worth your whole life. He's what you were made for. He's where your life makes sense. He's it. In fact, there was a point where he told us that. Look at Matthew 13. This will be my last verse. Matthew 13, verse 44. Jesus was speaking, and he said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Jesus is worth every drop of everything you have. He is the treasure. He is it. He's precious. He's valuable. And what I want you to do is quit holding back on Jesus. I want you to go all in. I want you to push all your chips to the middle of the table on Jesus. Let it ride on Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's precious. He's valuable. He's worth everything. This is a heart issue, not just a mind issue. It's not just some facts in our pockets so we can win some arguments. Who cares? This is about our hearts. Do we treat Jesus like who he is? This is why our mission as a church is no, grow, go. Know Jesus Christ personally. Grow in your relationship with him and go advance his kingdom. He's worth your whole life. Let me pray toward that end. Father, as we gather in your presence, and in a moment we're going to sing out to you, we're going to worship you. We want to rejoice that you gave us Jesus, the way, the truth, the life, And we want to acknowledge mentally, intellectually, that no one gets to you except through Christ. We get it. Oh, but Father God, would you keep us from just trying to win some stupid arguments? And would the victory right now be your victory in our hearts? That we would realize that He is the treasure hidden in the field. He is the pearl of great price. That we would give everything we have just for Him. Because He's it. There is no other. He's not one out of many. And so would we shift from playing games with You? And would You be 100% our Lord? And not out of punishment, my goodness, no. Out of joy, He went and sold all that He had. Because He traded up, because He got Jesus. So that we would, in Jesus, get the life. Take us there, Lord, please, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Redemption Chapel. Go to redemptionchapel.com for more resources and information.